try not to hold you very long tonight. I would like to talk to you for just a few minutes on some, if I can. Reading in Matthew 24. Let's read this together. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. I want to say again, we appreciate having David with us tonight. We was talking about him, I believe, the last day or two. Speaking of David. And we're glad to have you here. Every time you come, it's a blessing to us. And sometimes, of course, we fail to acknowledge that you're here. But it isn't that I don't want to. I see you, but sometimes it just doesn't register. I look right at you, and it doesn't register. Like Larry, I passed right over him tonight, and it didn't register that he was sitting out there. And it took a few minutes, and I was looking back again, and it registered that Larry was there. But if you're here, especially those that come for the first time, we're glad to have you here. Reading chapter 24, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Remember now, they're asking him of the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, folks, all those things have come to pass already. I said, well, I didn't see them. Well, nevertheless, they came to pass. You meet people that say that they are Christ, and you meet people that come in the name of Christ. And there has been wars, and there's been many rumors of wars, and many people have been deceived by people coming confessing Christianity or in the name of Christ. Well, the Bible said in that day they'll say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we done many mighty works in thy name? And he'll say, depart from me, ye working iniquity, I never knew you. So see, those things have come to pass. He said, but don't be troubled as Christians. Don't be troubled. All these things will trouble the world, of course. He said, for the end is not yet. He said, a nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Now then, nations have already risen against nation. There's been one nation right after another nation. And these nations have risen up against each other. Constantly they have risen up. There's been all kind of war from Germany, America, Japan, China. All of these nations have risen up against one another since the time Jesus said this. Been many wars. And we're on the verge of world war now. And it says, kingdom shall rise against kingdom. Whereas this is true, those nations are kingdoms. As a matter of fact, there's a queen that rules in one of them. There are kings that rules in some of them. But here we also see kingdoms as to the black kingdom against the white kingdom and the white kingdom against the black kingdom. We see the old thing of the North and the South as it's been through the years, and the Spanish and the Texans of East Germany and West Germany. And we've seen these things continually as to one people rising up against another people, as to the blackest, to the whitest, to the red, since Jesus said this. The white came into America and they've taken over here in America. And they had to war against the Indians. Many Indians was killed. Many whites was killed. Kingdom against kingdoms. And Jesus said this. And these things will continue. Because even now there's still problems. I just heard today now there are some of the blacks that have risen up that say that the slaves in the time of slavery, that it was the black man that built America and these things, and that the white man is indebted to him and needs to pay them so much money because that was their forefathers. And they're wanting the government to appropriate something for them. Whereas you know, whether you're black or white, you know that's absurd, that's silly, that's foolish. Because even if you did that, the first thing that I would say, well, what about all the board that they owe? Because they lived there with the white, they'd have to pay board, you know. They had to have living places and they had to eat and all these things. And then I would say, we'll have to go all the way back now to the early life of the black when they enslaved first the Hebrew people. And if they enslaved the people, then we would have to have money for that because that was our forefathers, you know. So it's just a bunch of foolishness. It's just craziness. But nevertheless, this is a war. Everybody is gullible for money. There's young lawyers everywhere trying to nitpick, and like a bunch of old buzzards, if you'll pardon my expression, the intellectual devils that are in these human bodies are trying to come up with something. They don't care what they come up with, but they will come up with something to try to figure out how to get money. And I know some of this is justified. It's just like a case that Sister Darson has right now. I understand that they've come up with $150,000 to pay Sister Darce, Gerald, and the family concerning Ruth's death. And they tell me that the lawyer said no, because now I think maybe he wants $1 million or something. I don't really know the whole thing about it. Brother Gerald has told me some of the things about it. But now they understand, or they feel like that she was killed because the car cut off at a crossroad, and that somebody had seen her earlier that day, and I think she'd gotten a new car or something and was having problems with it, and that the car knocked off, and that was why the truck hit her, and that the company that made the car should be sued, which, of course, that's right. You know, to this extent, you can't replace a life. Even they gave him $10 million, it wouldn't replace that precious life. But I'm just saying, there's lawyers. See, the people are greedy dogs that don't never get enough, whether they're white or whether they're black or red or yellow, whatever. It's just something about Satan and man that they're greedy dogs and they never get enough. And the things they come up with is absolutely absurd. It's just unreal that people would even think like that. Well, Jesus said kingdom against kingdom. Now, I am white, you're black, he's red. She's brown, that one's yellow. Whatever color it is, if we are Christians around the world, we don't belong to the black race. And we don't belong to the white race. And we don't belong to the yellow race. And we don't belong to the red race. We don't belong to any of those races. Somebody say, bless God, I'm all whatever I am and I'm for. Well, you know, I invite you to be born again, because if you belong to the white race and the black race and the other races, that means that you are not born again. See, and before you can be born again, you have to be dead to your race. I am dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, and it's not I that liveth. So I am in no race. I am in no race. If you are in a race and if you have that prejudice feeling, then it is a positive thing that you are not sons of God and you're not in the family of God. Because anybody dead don't belong to no race. They're just dead and the worms is eating them. And I am dead to all of the world, and I'm dead to the things of the world by the body of Christ. So I don't belong to any race. And if you're a son of God, you don't belong to any race. So we are a family of God that belong to God. We're one another. There's no such thing as color. If somebody is among us that is always prejudiced and always talking about that and relating to that and trying to get to that, whether white, black, red, Spanish, German, it don't make no difference what you are, then you don't belong to us. You need to get back out there with with the people of this world or with what Jesus referred to as the swines and the dogs, because you don't belong in the house with the children. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then, I realize that as to the world seeing us as individuals, they see us as individuals. And we are still, as Paul said, when you are in Rome, you have to do like the Romans do. And I made all things for all men that I might reach some of them, which means that as far as they're concerned, so far as they're concerned, they're looking at us and they're looking at us as individuals because they cannot see our spiritual being. So we have to conduct ourselves accordingly that we might not hurt our testimony. And the Bible said to do not anything in any way that would cause a blemish or spot, because they're beholding our good works, and they are looking on our good works. And those that are lost out there, that's among this people, are searching for light. And you're the light of the world. So let your light shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we don't do certain things because when we're in Rome, we have to do like the Romans do. And as our natural man, to them they still see it, we are among them. So we have to conduct ourselves orderly and accordingly. All right, this is just a little thought or two that I'm trying to put before you here to let you know that we are brothers and sisters. We are a God family, and no respect to person. That's what we are. Now, we're not a bunch of bullies. We're not a bunch of folks just running around thinking I can handle myself, you know. And a lot of these things are repulsive to me because they're spirits. I feel them kind of things. We're not somebody that, you know, that is going to put one down and lift another up. That's not the way it's done. Jesus said here, there shall be nation against nation. There shall be kingdom against kingdom. Wars and rumors of wars. And then he says, this is the beginning of sorrows. Now someone would say, well, what do you mean about that, Brother Pike? How many of you know that we're living in an age of sorrow? An age of sorrow. Never been an age like this. Little bitty children are being molested. Today, I stopped at a service station, or they stopped there to get me something to drink. I looked, a little sign was on the window, $1,000 reward for such and such for molesting a child. See, little children are grabbed. They're taken right from the presence of the mother while the mother is standing there. They're so shrewd, that the people that take them, that the mother never knows that the child is gone. The other day up here somewhere nearby, I think they even grabbed a girl maybe 15, 16 years old, maybe older. And right out in broad open daylight, as we say, right there while people was looking, they grabbed her and was, I don't think they found her yet. Gone, you know, away with her. It's the beginning of sorrows. It's heartaches. It's troubles. It's problems. It's racial conflict. It's bitterness. It's gossiping. It's backbiting. It's killing, destroying diseases. It's everything. I mean, there isn't anything that's left out in our day. It's everything. Poverty is just sorrow. Sorrow. Even sorrow of heart. I see people that have everything, and they have no reason to be sorrowful, but they're still sorrowful. They're just cast down and they're sorrowful. It's bad. It's the beginning of sorrows. So it says here, the beginning of sorrows. Now, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Already the Jim Jones thing, these things that are happening as to false teachers and whatever has caused the people to lose respect for the church, and they're right down on us in every way that they can be. They want to kill us out. They hate us. They'll do anything that they can just to put us down, to mock us, and to kill us out. And it's getting more severe because it isn't just some that's under pressure. They're actually killing the Christians. See, or anybody that loves the Lord, they force you to lie. If you buy a car, if you get anything, before you sign the paper, the old devil within the carnal mind of the one that you are are trying to negotiate with will cause you to lie a half a dozen times before he'll ever get around to signing the thing and letting you have the money or letting you have the car. It's real sad. Now, and you say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. Well, we had somebody not too long ago that come back from the bank, had just got a new vehicle or whatever it was, and they openly confessed that they had to lie a little bit to get the man to work with them, but they got it. And there was one of your outstanding people here. People do it every day, every day. Jesus said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Now, I just want to talk with you tonight, not preach at you, because I made up my mind before I come here tonight. I want to talk to you guys. I've got a few things I want to say. So he said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. This is an age of betrayal and hating one another and killing mother, daddy, brother, sister, whatever it is. It's a continual betrayal of one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. We've seen that. Many false prophecies and prophets have gone forth in the land. And it says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We've seen that. Iniquity is so great in the land as to rock and roll in all of the filth, the lust of the flesh, the gullible desires of life, wanting position and fame and popularity. All of this, it's caused iniquity to abound in such a great way that many people that one time loved Christianity and loved God, that love has waxed cold. They don't have it anymore. They've left the church. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. A few minutes ago, I said, here I am. I've been able by the grace of God to endure all these years. I said, now here is Brother Thomas. He's been able to endure all these years. See, he that endureth until he's 70 years old, then we say he shall be saved. Until he's 40 years old, then he shall be saved. It doesn't say that. If he lives to be 90, he's got to endure till he's 90. If he doesn't live to be but 35, he has to endure until he is 35. Whatever it is, he has to endure until the end. Said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. All right, we're seeing that over television, radio, publications, world evangelism, whatever it is, by means of the Telstar, the gospel has gone into all the world. It has gone. You say, you really believe that, Brother Pike? I believe that with all my heart. I know that for a fact. It's gone into all the world. Now, it has to go to every creature. And I admit that there's some yet to hear the gospel of Christ. But we're getting down close to the end because the gospel is in all the world. I travel all over the world. I know it's there. All right, so it says, and it'll go into all the world. Now, this is what I want to talk about. It says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, says, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Someone would say, what do you mean with child or give suck? It was when the Japanese people came in against some of the nations and against America, as they did at the time of the Pearl Harbor thing. I saw the films as a boy. They ripped mothers open. They literally ripped them open with swords, bayonets, and I saw them do this. I sat and saw the newsreels as a young boy, and I saw them take little children. They walked up, took the little children, and one soldier got on this side, and another soldier got on this side. They took them away from the mother, and they swing them just like this, just slowly swing them. And then they throwed them up into the air, and another one held the bayonet, and they fell down on top of the bayonet. And fellas or folks, I tell you, when that happened, I come clear up out of my seat in the church and screamed out before I knew what I was saying. I mean, it wasn't a lovely thing that I said toward them either. I just said that there was so much, and it just tore the people all together. I mean, all to pieces, because this was something that was really happening. This was a newsreel. It just tore them up. This really was happening. So it says, "Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days." So we've experienced some of this, but this is to come to the Jews. He said, "But pray that your flight be not in the winter, because some of those Judean mountains can be cold." And it says, "Neither on the Sabbath day." On the Sabbath day. You know, you're not supposed to move anything around on the Sabbath day. You're supposed to go, I believe it's but a Sabbath day's journey. And you're not supposed to. Now, for instance, we say if it was a Sabbath day that the Jews fled, what could they take with them? See, they're not supposed to be carrying things around on the Sabbath day. They got upset with Jesus because he told a man to take up his bed and walk. Couldn't carry anything on the Sabbath. See, if they fled from Jerusalem, going out into the mountains, they wouldn't be able to take food or anything with them like that. So, he says here, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." He says it'll be such great tribulation upon these people that there has never been the like, never before. Great tribulation. That means they're just literally going to massacre him. "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Now remember that Israel is God's elect. And you're elect according to foreknowledge. "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." Later, John saw this in Revelation. It's recorded in the book of Revelation that tells about these things happening. We brought some of it out to you. "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven." In Revelation, it tells where he appears in heaven. "And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory," saying that when he appears in heaven, it's going to tear everybody in the earth all to pieces. They'll actually run for the rocks and mountains, throw their money to the bats, beg the mountains to fall on them. "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Notice what he says here now. "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth the leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it's near even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. The woman shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant when his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. I verily I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant, and to eat and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now Jesus went on to tell about the virgins and the lamps, the midnight cry. But here he is telling us that as it was in the days of Noah, that is, all flesh had corrupted its way before God. He tells us here that heaven and earth is going to pass away. He tells us about the fig tree putting forth the branch, that is to say of Israel. And then he says they'll be eating, drinking, marrying, just the excess of marrying, eating, drinking. And he points out that even in the days of the apostles, where they are here with him, that all of these things will be fulfilled, even in that time. Whereas it was fulfilled in that Jesus went to Calvary. But he said all these things will be fulfilled. That was a fulfillment of all things. And then it was fulfilled as to the coming of the Lord when he appeared there in their day on the Mount of Transfiguration between Moses and Elijah. And then he speaks of this generation not passing, not only that generation is to see those things, but the generation is to see these things in our day. Once that generation is here, it'll not pass till everything is finished. So then I'm just trying to hurry along to get to my thought here. And I kind of have to take my time because I've got a few things I want to say. But I get to hurrying along and blunder here and there, but I don't want to keep you too long. When the heat goes off, the heat goes down. When the heat goes down, then the people, they get very uncomfortable, and Satan just worries them, bothers them until I can't keep their attention. But I'm just going to say these few things to you. I don't know what I'll be able to say because I was just going to talk with you. But I'm going to say these few things, and it depends on how you listen as to these things for a few moments to whether or not I'm going to say anything else. We are living right in the end of the world. It is absolutely the end of the world. Peter said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And that was even back at Calvary. So we are living in the ends of the world. Now, I just want to point out a few things to you. The major thing that we look for as to the times and the seasons moving toward the coming of the Lord is the abomination that maketh desolate. Now let's just look at a few things. I've said some things as of late that's already come to pass. I spoke of some things concerning Russia. I said Mr. Gorbachev, and sometimes I say Khrushchev, but Gorbachev, if I am to say Khrushchev, you know I'm talking about Gorbachev. But I get to talking about him and I remember Khrushchev so well. But anyway, Mr. Gorbachev has all of a sudden done some things that we predicted that he would do. We said that he would become religious and start favoring the Christian religion. Now, I know some of you doubted that. And I said, when we went into Russia, it had to do with the dividing asunder as to the rending of the veil and the breaking down of the Iron Curtain. Well, believe it or not, since we have gone into Russia, I heard as of today that the ban as to the interference with the wavelengths that's coming in from free Europe or anywhere else, the bans have been taken off. There's always been a block put up, and Russia would not let those things come in there. But all of a sudden, the ban's gone. That means that religion is bound to go into Russia. Because over all of these great stations, it is a religious trend toward Christ that they speak about. And those things going in is going to program the minds of the people, because I know that they're hungry. I've already been there. See, so that's the answer to prayer. I prayed earnestly. I said, Lord, please open up Russia. I said, please, I've been praying. Open up Russia. Let Christianity into Russia. I said, there's so many hundreds and millions of people that need Jesus. So all of a sudden, God is answering the prayer. Now, not only that, but he's doing away with the powers of the government that's been over Russia, that's had them in the confined. He's doing away with it. I said, he will do this so that he can make a Russia like America. And then I heard today that the statement was made, I believe, by Gorbachev, that he wants to make Russia like America. And then I said that what he will do this to try to get industry into Russia and to bring in these different things like malls that he saw over here that he enjoyed so much while he was here, to take away the primitiveness of Russia, and he will bring in things like our eating places, cafes, and Burger Kings, and all kind of places, you know, that we have the Rhines and whatever. And I heard today that they have, right in Moscow, made arrangements for them to open up, I believe it's a Burger King, is it? Is that right? McDonald's. I thought I had something wrong there. A McDonald's that will seat 5,000 people in Moscow and let them sell the Coke and whatever over in Moscow. Let's give the Lord a hand. God is breaking down that iron curtain, and he's breaking down that wall of resistance, and God is answering the prayers of the saints, and God is going in there. And you say, why? Because he is God. He can do what he wants to. And he goes behind the bamboo curtain or whatever kind of curtain, and he's got some elect in there in Russia and China, and he's going right in there, and him angels is pushing right on in there. It's the end of the world, and they're going to gather his elect. So this, we said, would happen, and it's happening. Now, let's just analyze a few things just for a minute. Six times in Israel, maybe go there again. Already there's a problem with the PLO, the battle between Israel and the PLO, or that is this liberation organization, Palestinian Liberation Organization. Over here we hear about it, but when you get on the other side of the hill and you see them actually fighting, and you're right in the midst of it, it becomes realistic. And over there around Jericho, Bethlehem, and whatever, just as we got out of Jericho that night, I believe they shot somebody coming through there that killed him. He didn't stop. Over there, here's the PLO. Here is Israel. The PLO feels like Israel don't have a right to exist as a nation. Now, it would take a long time for me to really go into this in detail, to bring out revelation on it. But I'm just bringing out some current world news or world happenings. See, here they are over there fighting. They don't believe that Israel should exist as a nation. Now, the first thing that you and I would do, we would rise up about that. We'd say, they're wrong. That's true, they are wrong, and yet they're not wrong to this extent. Israel is not a nation. Though Israel feels that she's a nation, or that they are a nation, they feel that they are a nation because they've done all the things that a nation is supposed to do. They've got Golda Meir, they had Golda Meir, they had Begin, they had these other different leaders there, and they feel like we're a nation. They got back there a few years back and they formed their nation, and they feel like that they are a nation. But see, Israel is not a nation in the sight of God. Israel can never be a nation until Israel receives her king. Her nation calls for a king. Since the days of Samuel, it's called for a king. And is not a nation like other nations. They cannot just have any kind of king. There is only one king that they can have, and that's Jesus. And the reason they have not been a nation is because at Calvary they rejected their king. Go back and read it in the Bible. And Pilate wrote over him, the king of the Jews. He said, will you crucify your king? He's not our king, they said. But nevertheless, he put it, the king of the Jews. And then they went to him and said, nay, don't put king of the Jews. Put that he said he was king of the Jews. Pilate said, what I have written, I've written. And it remained the king of the Jews because God put it there. Amen. So I said that again to say this, Israel is not a nation. Her king has been rejected. She will not be a nation until a king comes. Now her king will not come. Her king will not come until she's able to set up her Sanhedrin. I brought this out. We've got it on tape. They have to set up the Sanhedrin. They can't set up the Sanhedrin until they find the Kalah Paradama as to the ashes of the red heifer. Because it was the rule of God that when one heifer was killed, when they went to make atonement with another heifer, they had to have the ashes from this to chain link it together. And that went on for a number of years, and then it was lost, and they can't find it. Obviously, it was lost when Israel went down into Babylon, when Jeremiah took control there, and when the tabernacle was hid, and the Ark of the Covenant was hid, to keep the kings of Babylon from taking these things down into Babylon, because they sent up there and took all the gold and silver, everything that Solomon has made, they took it down into Babylon. See, and Jeremiah got there in time to see that this did not happen with the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle. So Israel don't know where it's at. When they come out of Babylon after 70 years, they built the walls back, but they were not able to locate these things nor find these things to become a nation again. And then at Calvary, they rejected the king. All of these things was a type pointing to the coming of the real red heifer and pointing to the coming of the real tabernacle. And they rejected that, not being spiritual. So then you and I, as spiritual Jews, that is, we become spiritual Jews because we receive the ashes of the red heifer. We receive the sprinkling of the blood of Christ Jesus. We received all of the things that they were supposed to receive. So then we've come in and we are those that dwell in heaven. We have the benefits and we pass from death unto life. All of these things I preach to you. My, I wish we had time to elaborate on this tonight, especially revelation-wise. As to show the natural, the physical, the spiritual, or that is to say the Jew and the Gentile in the church. But anyway, I'm trying to make a point here. We received that, they rejected that, and until today, they've been slaughtered, they've gone through the dark age, they've gone through all of these things, the Holocaust, and the sufferings, it's just the misery has been just untold. It's so great. Now, all of a sudden, the crown of the papacy is gone. That ruled over them, that brought this blood upon them, in that they cried, let his blood be on us. That means that the head of the Gentile power is gone. There's a lot to be said about that. All of a sudden, now Jerusalem, as to the crown of Jerusalem, cannot be found because it's only a make-believe thing, because they are rejecting them as a nation. That only leaves, as to the natural, the physical, and the spiritual, one thing. And that is the church. And I brought this out on tape, how that crown was shifted. And even at little Bethlehem right here, the inauguration came as to what God did. Whereas you couldn't see that. And I said, and this will spread all over the world and affect the governments of the world. Whereas you couldn't see that. A bunch of little peons, somebody says, here at Bethlehem. But little Bethlehem here is about as big as the Bethlehem where he was born. So far as the little city, we got more space right here. But now you're beginning to see that the message is affecting thousands of people in the foreign country, as well as thousands of people in America, by radio, by television, by tent meetings, by crusades, by testimonies, by literature. See, and when you affect thousands of people, that is the government. If I go over into Nigeria and I don't affect but 10,000 people, whereas I believe we're going to affect a whole lot more than that. See, that is going to cause a stir, because in that country, it is Islam worship, Islamic worship, that is the God of Allah, or Muhammad as a prophet, and these kind of things. See, that's what that is. And they are the government. They are the government. Now, if I go over there defying their God, if I go over there preaching this, and thousands of people gather, then that is the government, because the people, they're the government. And if thousands of people gather and then they believe what I say, that's another government that is opposing their government. Like it was said of Paul, he that turned the world upside down has come here. And that is the government. So you can be sure that the man that's perched up on a little throne over here somewhere that calls himself the leader of these people are going to be stirred up, because I'm taking them out of his hand. See, so it has to affect the government. Over here, while we were in Florida, we talked to the president of Nicaragua. The Sandinistas there that caused the trouble, that drove them out. He told me about the problems that they had. While we were down in Mexico, we had communications there with the dignitaries. And even the clothing that you sent, the president's wife, so far as I know, took it as to help with the calamity there. When we go over into Nigeria, we're dealing with people there that are associated with the government, even Abraham. They're wanting him to be president there. When we go into the Philippine Islands, there is one that they're wanting to be president, and he also has relatives that's in the upper echelon, so far as being among the celebrities, as being in the government. See, and on this thing goes, from the time that we sent the flag to Mr. Reagan's for him to receive it. It has had to do, I told you that we'd start going to some of those celebrities, and it would start moving into the government. When God got ready to put this thing into the government in the days of Paul, he let Paul go through the sufferings to stay in jail and was brought out before these great dignitaries and leaders for testimony and a witness to them. And shortly after that, Constantine came in, the mother become a Christian, and it become a governmental thing as to Christian government. And we've seen that thing abound as to Catholicism all down through the years. All right, let's just look at it for a minute or two and just see how. I know some of you might not be interested in this, and you can ease on out. Just ease on out, because we're going to talk for a few minutes. You really don't need to be here anyway, because if you don't, you're not interested, you're not going to understand. It'd be better you ease on out. But to the others, there's some of them that really wants to know what's going on, and we're going to share what little we got here with them tonight as much as we can. Now, I said those things to say this, that here we are, and this thing is happening the way that we said it would happen. Here is the PLO, and here is Israel. Now, there has been a resolution as to Israel being a nation, but the PLO doesn't want to accept that. They want to bring up a new resolution, and they are beginning to be willing to let Israel exist as a nation. Now, to bring this up, a new resolution so they can have control of Israel. Put it out, change it, and do whatever they want to. Really, fix it to where Israel will be under their control, or to enslave them. And Israel won't go along with it. All of this is working toward the end. Look at just what happened. So far as I know, all of the nations of the world are upset at America and Israel. They're already upset at Israel because they can't make Israel take a bow. And they're upset with America because America wants to stand by Israel. I think they said one nation that did not vote as to Great Britain, I'd made the statement having to do with the lion and whatever, that they still joined with these nations in that they were in disagreement with America. And somebody said, well, what does that mean? It means something tremendous has taken place. They refused to let Arafat address the nations, which I think was the right thing to do. The PLO, or in that country, they're determined that they're going to make themselves a nation, whether anybody recognizes them or not. And then to think all the nations would favor the thing of the PLO. I talked to this Bill Hornbuckle today, which is the fine man, and I'm sure Bill didn't mean anything by it. He seems to be a fine man, even religiously speaking. He's religiously inclined to some extent. And the first thing he said was, the Jews, they're causing the PLO trouble. They're causing all these Arabs trouble. And it does look like that the Jews is down on them, and they are arrogant. And they are causing them trouble. But at the same time, the Arabs are causing them trouble. But people have a feeling as to say for the underdog. Now what I'm trying to say is that Israel is only fighting for survival, because the nation that's coming up, where, as the Bible said, Antichrist shall come up with a little people. The nation that's coming up has to do with Antichrist. It has to do with Muslims. It has to do with Antichrist. It's coming up. It has to do with Arabs that represent the bonds child. If you're not born again, you're also part of the bonds child. You are a derivative of Egypt, from whence comes civilization. Now, it's strange that at this time, when we are right in the end of the world, it's strange that at this time, that all of these nations favor the PLO. That's strange, isn't it? But it's not strange if you remember the things that we've taught here at Bethlehem. I told you of the 12 tribes and how that two of them were left when 10 went away into Assyria as to the lost tribe. And I spoke to you of Joseph and Benjamin. And I said America has to do with Joseph. And Israel has to do with Benjamin. I said they are not half brothers. They are religiously linked together. So, that's good. If you don't want to hear it, that's good. Just ease on now. Somebody took me at my word. Now, see, these are religious brothers. All of the others are upset at these two. That's strange, isn't it? All of the rest of the world. But as go Israel, so goes America, Reagan said. Now, Mr. Reagan, representing the religious people, we are Christians. We're not going to throw Israel down, because we know that God's got his eyes on Israel and that that's the Holy Land where Jesus was born. Isn't that right? Might have changed their mind coming back. But anyway, here we're looking at this thing. So then we see that all of the world is turned toward one headship. And I say toward the devil. Someone would say, why do you say that, Brother Pike? I say that because I spoke of the Ten Commandments. Could go into something spiritual here. Ten Commandments, how it related to the papacy. And I brought out some spiritual revelation of what those things represented as pertaining to the tribes. So then there is a headship. Remember, sin gets its strength by the law, which represents the Ten Commandments. There's a headship. So then there's a headship to those tribes. There's a headship to those people. All of them are lost. There is a headship. But Joseph and Benjamin is together. I say again, as to America, we are Christians. We're not going to put down the Benjamin part, that's our brother. I know America's infiltrated with all kinds of people, and someday that'll be a persecution. But as to the Christians, as to the real true Americans, they're not going to put down Israel because they know that's the Holy Land, that's God's origin as to his birthplace. And Israel isn't going to put down America because Israel is a little nation and they know they'll be stamped out. We're the big brother. This is the only means of survival they got. Somebody asked Israel not too long ago, asked one of them, said, what do you think about America? Asked an individual in Israel. And the individual says, how does a child feel about his mother? So you can see how they feel toward us. See, that means that there is something that is taking place. There's a divisional thing that is taking place. And all of the world has gone in one direction except the Christian and the Jew. Why is America turning toward the Jew? Because our Messiah was born in Israel, or that is in Jerusalem. And we're looking in that direction. For we're God's people. We represent God's people. But all the others are looking toward the bond child as to the leader, because that great day of separation has come, where he's about to set his feet upon the Mount of Olives, where it'll cleave in half as to the water coming out of it. Could speak to you of Revelation there, but we're just going with the natural things here to try to explain what we're trying to say. Why is all of this happening, a dividing asunder all of a sudden? As to the judgment, Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives when he tells them this. He ascended from there, he's going to come back to there. Now all the world is in a divisional sort of a thing. Why? Because it's the end of the world. See, everything is just right. Oh, bless God, somebody says it's all the same. I know, I know. I understand your arrogant thoughts and the way that you look at it in life. When I say that, I'm not speaking to people of Bethlehem. These tapes go out all over the world. I know your thoughts. But here's the thing. No matter how we look at it, we're fixing to go into the year of 89. And I brought out some things not too long ago that the Lord had me to speak to you, to where you would stop and think. And that is that there was just a few short years left before we get over to the tribulation period. I brought it out and I explained how that some of the things was out of date as to the offset of the birth of Christ. And how that when you put those things into place, that it moves us way on up. And you saw that. And now all of a sudden, there's something that has arisen that has pinpointed it right down to where I said. See, because if we're going into 89, that means we're moving way on up toward the end. Now, all of a sudden, they come up with these markets over in the foreign countries, Europe. They're coming together. 13 nations. They're coming together. Why are they coming together? Because it is the body of the beast. It's coming together. The monetary powers will excel that of the United States. It'll be more convenient for them to market on that side of the ocean. And it will excel the monetary values here. Why is it that America is bankrupt? But it says, America ain't bankrupt. She just hasn't filed bankruptcy. She is bankrupt. Her dollar is worthless. Why is that all of a sudden? Because it means the fullness of the days of the Gentiles. The Gentiles' days are at an end. Out of civilization from Egypt, all of a sudden it's spread here, all over the world, but it's at an end. Now, if it's at an end, then that means that this thing has got to go back to the other side of the ocean. It's got to go back for the Jews to become the head of the nations. So God is going to draw the attention back. Hundreds and millions of tourists are getting more interested in that side of the world. going into all kind of different countries. Now he's going to draw it back. And that common market will have everything that your heart could wish for. And it's going to be a constitution of nations. And they've done got to the place of the point of no return. The nations have now decided that they've got to go through with this thing because it's like a point of no return. They can't get back now because they said it will be proved to be too detrimental to their nations. So they're forced to go into it. Now, when their little colony comes together, it's going to have to do with the body of the beast. That's your spots. That leopard body, that's your spots. All kind of nations coming together. And Mr. Gorbachev has made the statement, extend that on over to Russia. They're going to look to Russia because Russia is going to be the great nation as to the backup, as to carry the thing, just like the bare feet. To carry it as their great defense, their great strong hold. And then it's for sure the papacy having all of the money that he's got. The biggest stockholder is the chief of the crowd. And they're going to get right into it as to that old lion head having to do with the papacy and Great Britain. It's going to come right in there as to constitute that thing. And then it's going to come together as a world power because when it gets greater than anything else, Antichrist is going to go in there and kind of escape. He's going to grab that thing through a computer system and through the monetary values of the world and through an intellectual seizure. He's going to take that thing and he's going to set his throne up. And he's going to control the entire world through it. Now, in controlling the world through that, this is the way the covenant is going to come about as to the last week. Remember, if this is true, John said, I stood on the banks of the sea, which is the Mediterranean Sea. You've been there. It's called the Great Sea. And I saw this beast come up. And he told of the bare feet, he told of these things. He told of the horns as to the common markets and whatever. It's shown there in the beast. I saw this, he said. See, I brought it out to you as governments, as sports, as religion. The combination, the constitutional thing. That's why I said that you will see that Gorbachev will get religious. All right, and in coming together, it carried the great whole. There's no other religion that will fit all over the world. There's no other religion that has the control that this great religion, as to the papacy, has as to Catholicism. So then the whole world wondered after this beast. And we could say a lot about that tonight, but I just want to correlate and constitute something that will be in your mind as a framework to where you can have some idea of where we're living and what's happening and how the thing will come about. Now, John stood on the sands of the sea and he saw this. Now, what John was actually looking at is that constitutional thing as to this great common market that is going to force its way, once it gets in strength, force its way to take control of all the world. And the Bible said, who could make war against him? If he's got the bread basket, if he's got control of everything as the common market, and he's got control of all the armies, who can fight against him? So then, in this thing coming together, this is what comes across from Rome. The Mediterranean Sea goes right over there around Rome, coming from over in Europe around Rome, comes right straight in there to the shores of Israel. And begins to come up in this force, these armies, these powers, this government, first coming up to offer a covenant. That is to entice Israel, to get Israel to be part of this. And Israel will get into it. And when they make the agreement for this, it will be as to a common market because all nations can flourish from it. So Israel will want to flourish. But the thing is, after 2 or 3 years, Israel is going to see that it is not just a common market, asked for them to flourish, that they have signed a covenant and an agreement for this thing to possess them, and that this is a government, and Antichrist appears in the middle of the week to usurp authority, to do away with religious convictions and everything else so far as Israel's religion, and to swallow them up. And that's when they're going to rebel. See, and I say the middle of the week because it is already that they're pinpointing this to 92. And we brought those things out, how did they fail around 93. And they're pinpointing it to 92. By 93, they'd just be getting off the ground, as we say. 93, it would leave exactly 7 years until the turn of the century, which would bring in the last of the 6,000 years as to the days that God labored, and then as to the day of the millennium, his restoration and rest. Which means that if we are in 89, going into 89, 90, 91, 92, that's 3 years. They'll have everything in order. And if it goes to 93, then that would just automatically set everything just right. Now, we brought out some things on that here a while back. This is how close to everything is. I said that Mr. Bush went in to give us a little more light. It wouldn't even be more than one president term, and everything would be set in battle array. So then, all is set for gross darkness to cover the world. Everything is set for the death blow. Right now we see the split. And we see Joseph and Benjamin holding together. We see the 10 lost tribes all going toward their head. As to Antichrist, as to the European side of it. Israel looking to the new world, which is America. This side of it, which means the days of the Gentiles is right in the end. Now, if this is true, with all of this constitutional thing coming, we spoke to you about this years ago when we went into Belgium. With all of this coming together, then that means that we are in the end of the world. Why does the PLO, why does that nation that's coming up want Jerusalem for the headquarters? That couldn't be anything but the devil. See, where the problem will come in is that when Antichrist gets control of all of these things, he will be the great almighty as to the earth. But there'll be one thing that will trouble him. Daniel said, tidings out of the east will trouble him. He'll have control of all the world, but over in Israel, they'll still say, Messiah's coming, Messiah's coming, Messiah's coming. And that will trouble him. And then he'll go forth to make an end of it. And when he goes forth to make an end of it, that'll be the breaking of the covenant, because it'll be a personification of Lucifer. And then all of the nations of the world, he'll have control of them, and every one of them will be against Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem will be an outcast. It'll be like the UN as today. See, all of them will be against Jerusalem. And the Bible said when you see all of the armies of the world gather together against Jerusalem, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. See, all of them will be gathered together then against Jerusalem. I wish we had time to break it down and show it to you in the book of Revelation in the different places. The vine is cut out and cast into the winepress of Almighty God, trodden without the city. So then, here all of them will gather together. Maybe we'll elaborate on it a little later. But here all of them are gathered together. See, against Jerusalem, coming together. They are right now, but it's going to show. See, as they come together, all of them coming together against Jerusalem, the armies from all over the world will go forth. The river of the great Euphrates will be dried up to make way for the kings of the east. As to everything coming in there against them to take their land. And when they're driven out, at that point of the middle of the week, remember, the covenant is made for 7 years. If it's 93, from 93 on over to 2000, would lay it in there just right. Now, I know there's a shifting here and there as to the time element and as to the way things, God has put it, so you don't know the day nor the hour. I know. But the thing is, see, and it's moving on around, and if that covenant is made
if they set up in 92 and then the thing gets a hold of Israel, about 93, that means it couldn't be but 1 week as the 7 years left. Now, in the middle of that week, the covenant is broken. The troubling out of the east. So it's obvious that it's all coming together. This is the end of the world. Everything is falling into place. And that in the middle of the week, the woman flees into the wilderness. Times time and a half of time, which means 3.5 years will be left. And then the 144,000 is caught up to Mount Zion in the middle of the week. And the fleeing of the woman into the wilderness will be when they come in around Jerusalem and they drive all out but a third. They'll drive them all out. When they drive them all out, that'll be the woman fleeing because the other will have been caught up to Mount Zion. I'm speaking of the Jews now. They'll all be caught up. See, that's going to be caught up. That's the birth. That is the travail of Israel. And at that time, the child comes forth because the Bible said just as soon as she travailed, then the child was born. The power of rulership. Jesus will set his foot on Mount Zion where the tomb of David is. The headship, born first, as to the travail. And after that, the physicians working as to the membership. All of them be caught up. For who hath heard such a thing? The Bible said a nation is born in one day. One day, going back, as I said, to the ceiling of the 144,000, just like that. See, a nation is born in one day. Now, in what I'm saying, and there's a lot of things I'd like to say that I'm not going to get to say, but in what I'm saying, it means that we are right down at the end of the world. And many of you are not even spiritual. You're not even concerned to know, to understand. You're not applying yourself. You're still worried about houses and land, home and money and children and family and prestige and doing the things that you want to do. Even in church, you're not even applying yourself as to give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard or to take heed how that you hear them, even to learn and to understand about it. You know, the world is the same. Everything's going on the same. Eat, drink, tomorrow will be like today. Today we ride, we see, we don't know. But all of a sudden, right in the midst of it, something's going to happen. So, I'm going to close out here in just a minute or two because I'm not going to be able to get into all the things I wanted to, but I'm going to correlate just a few little things. See, here we are. All of these things are taking place around us. We see them. We know. Being over in the foreign countries, being right there in the midst of the fighting, or being there where the problems is, I know. I talk to the people. I can feel their heartbeat, as we say. I know their heartaches. And I can understand, see, that there's things that are taking place. So, at Little Bethlehem, this has a great place in the plan of God. And you're here from Texas, you're here from Tennessee, you're here from everywhere. All around you've come. God has chosen you. You're select for purpose. I know there's infiltration among us. I know that. I know Judas was there, you know, when the disciples came. But he has gathered you together. And he did it. He's done this for one reason. He's found some honest heart. Though he was an error, yet he saw the honesty of your heart. Why didn't he bring your brother, your sister, somebody else? Why didn't you bring other people? Why are you here? Because as the vision I had, where I saw all these freakish images, that big hand went out like that and in the middle of them and just cut right down in the middle of the people and just pulled them over here where I was at. And then like that, he brought them into perfect images. See, he is making you into the image of his son. He's got you here for a purpose. So I could go on and go on and make this a little more detailed, but it would take a long time. But I believe by the few things that I'm trying to bring out and many other things I'd like to fit in if I just had the time. But these few things that you can see that we are right at the end of the world and that everything is shaping up. And that this is no coincidence that everybody is upset with America all of a sudden. And that these two headships are beginning to come into view. They're beginning to come into view. And that is why that they want Jerusalem. and that Jerusalem is not a nation and cannot be a nation. And as long as they are not a nation and cannot be a nation, it means that they cannot prevail before their enemy. They have, as up to this point. But they will not be able to prevail before their enemy. The Israelites will not give up Jerusalem because the tomb of David is there. And that's their king. And they'll fight on to the death. But the only thing is, the overpowering of the enemy is going to be so great that they're going to have to yield to their enemy. They're going to fight, spill blood. But it is going to be a massacre, a tribulation like it's never been. Because they will not give up Jerusalem. But with all of this perseverance and fighting and the spilling of blood and courage, they're going to be driven out. They're going to be driven out. And they're going to take Jerusalem. That is desolation to God. Anytime Israel is not in their homeland, that's desolation. I don't care who's there, that's desolation. See, and I could go into the abomination of desolation. It's an abomination in the sight of God as to what will take place. And I could go into it a little more explicit if we had the time, as to make you understand it a little better. But anyway, Revelation 14, when Jesus stands on the mount, Zion, the 144,000 caught up, the woman flees away into the wilderness. All of a sudden here, Jesus appears. He appears in the clouds immediately after this. And Revelation 7, there's the ceiling. They went through the first 3.5 years, that is to say the Jews. Now they're on Mount Zion. And here Jesus is all of a sudden coming back, sitting on a cloud, saying the harvest is ripe, thrust in the sickle. And all of a sudden, these three unclean spirits, like frogs, go out into all the world to gather together the kings of the earth to bring them to the battle of Armageddon. And all of a sudden, the sickle is cast in, and a voice says, cut down the vine. You know, we say this went through the grapevine. Cut down the vine. Once the grapes are gathered, as to the translation, the rapture, whatever, as to those that are at that time. See, then the vine is cut down. He's through with humanity. And the cutting down of the vine is the gathering of all these people. Because the vine reproduces. And people reproduce after their kind. But if he destroys the people through the battle of Armageddon to bring the blood up to the horse's bridle, then there is no more reproduction. He said there wouldn't be any flesh spared if he didn't show it in those days for the elect's sake. Because the battle's going to be so great, so much blood spilled. People from all over the world. It'll be the destruction of all the world. Wouldn't be no flesh left. But he's going to shorten those days for the elect's sake. Now, in bringing them in there, you know, it's strange right at this time. They're just now getting that song ready that I wrote, thrust in the sickle, the harvest is ripe, the blood is to the bridle. So all of a sudden, they're getting that one ready. Now, let me say this in trying to close. When the vine is cut down, it says cut it down. Cast it into the winepress of Almighty God. And the Bible said it was trodden without the city to the blood to the horse's bridle. That is the vine cutting down humanity, the kingdoms of the world, drawing them all in against Jerusalem to bring the abomination that maketh the desolate. All of them coming in there. This speaks of it after the middle of the week. All of them coming in there. And this to bring the battle of Armageddon, that when this is finished, Revelation 19, the Lord appears on the white horse. And we appear with him on the white horses, coming to bring the Jews to their elevated place of throne to rule. The 12 disciples ruling, Jesus taking his place to rule over the Gentiles. And the 12 apostles taking their place on 12 thrones to rule the 12 tribes of Israel. Each one a tribe. So then comes the setting up of the kingdom. We're turning the 2,000 year, bringing in the day of rest, the millennium. The battle's over. I'm speaking of this at the end of the tribulation period. See, the vine has been pulled into the valley of Armageddon. And the battle is on. All from all over the world, they're there. And their blood's being spilled. All of the kings are there from around the world to see the battle. See, everything is happening. Once they start that fight, the Lord will slay them with the word of his mouth, the sword of his mouth on that white horse, his vesture dipped in blood, the word of God. And he'll slay them, and the blood will literally run up to the horse's bridle. Millions and millions of people There's about 5 billion people in the world today. He's going to bring them in there. Drying up the Euphrates, even the Chinese people coming in there by the thousands. Millions of people. There's billions of people around the world. The blood to the horse's bridle. So that is the cutting down of the vine, pulling it out into the valley of Armageddon for this great battle. Here we are, folks, right at the end time. I'm right here talking to you about the end time. You're right here listening to these things about the end time right here. Here we are sitting together. Only 4 years and it'll be 93. 4 years and it'll be 93. And they're predicting the thing getting off the ground as to the instigation by 92. But you know it won't never do that. It'll move right on over just like the Lord's got it and get in effect about 93. It'll be organizing for about a year there to get everything in place, correlating to get all that they need. And I'm going to say this and try to close. If this isn't true, why is it that the Bible says all of a sudden the angel drops a stone, a millstone, into the sea, and the voice cries out, Babylon is fallen, is fallen, Babylon the Great, because there'll be a restoration of that with this great common market. Babylon the Great is fallen, has become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And why is it all of a sudden the voice cries out and it says, no more fine linens, fine horses. No more all of these things that's named in the book of Revelation. Many multiplied things as to her dainties, as to her goodly things, as to all of those things that she lusted after and desired. Why all of a sudden does the Bible say that? It enumerates numbers of these things. Why? Because that's that common market. That's that great gathering of that market. God literally destroys it. There'll be the bumming, there'll be the fighting, there'll be the destruction. All of these people going to this market, it will be their dream come true. But God will come in there and literally wipe it out, destroy it. And that's why the cry is, she's fallen, and all of her goodly things are gone. All of them, even to that thing about destroying souls that the Bible speaks of. And folks, we're right at the end time right now. Let's stand together. We could go on and go on, but I know it's getting a little bit cool there, and I don't want the babies to take cold. The little ones get uncomfortable. Things are shaping up. The end is here. The thing is, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are you doing? Brother Larry, I talked to him over the phone. They gave him a clean bill of health. There's a checked him. And Larry said, Brother Pike, I feel dead on the inside to the things of the world. And said, I purpose in my heart that I'll never again go after the things of the world. Said, I've done it before, but I won't never again do it. All of the spending and buying, said, I won't do it. He said, I'm wanting to get home in a hurry so that we can get down to business for the things of God. Said, from now on, I'm giving my life to winning souls and to stand with you in the things of God. Brother Larry come right down to death's door. And as far as I know, and I could be altogether wrong about it, but according to what I understood, he would have died. I believe that as much as I believe that I'm breathing my breath. There was a dream that he did die. And he came right down to death's door. And when all of a sudden he discovered that his blood had dropped to 40, enough to go into a trance and die. The things that happened, he said, in Kenya, when I got with Mike, David, Paul, and the different ones to pray for him, he said, it seemed like, Brother Pike, that everything said I was going crazy. So I was losing my mind, the precious, that was affecting my head. And he said, and the torments talked like that even his wife and the others couldn't imagine what he was going through. And it was crucial enough that David, Paul told me, said, I observed it. And I laid on my bed and I thought, Larry is going to die. If God don't do something, Larry's going to die. And he told Brother Mike that too. And I think it shook Brother Mike up. But all of a sudden, Larry said it happened, that it just went away like that. And he's been feeling different. Now they've checked about everything, the thing checking his body, and said that he's old. But he learned one thing, and that is, you want to be ready when Jesus calls you. You don't want to take no chance. You don't want to make believe. We learn obedience by the things we suffer, and I see a lot of times the reason we're not any more obedient than we are, we haven't done much suffering. People of America has not really suffered yet. They're going to. All right, can we sing together? I love you. I'm just trying to share a little bit of my thoughts and what he reveals to me to you. You can do with it what you want to. You can consider it. You can think on it, whatever. And if you think on it in faith, God will add great things and open up great things to you. But if you don't feel that's the way it is, I love you just the same. Well, let's worship the Lord together and do what we can. Every man to his own thing. He has to think for himself. He has to talk with God for himself. And he has to understand for himself. So whatever you do, that's your business. Let's just sing together, can we? I put these things on tape because, like I say, they go all over the world. Sometimes Bill won't release a tape and people get disturbed about it. But whenever he does release tapes, they go into a lot of places. Just get in with somebody, you know, and rearrange your life and make your life count for Christ. It seems to me like you'd want to do that. And to those that are called or desire to be here with us, I'd like for you to get in with us. Because we have many things that we need to do. And Jesus said, I have many things to say unto you, but you're dull of hearing. So I feel like that you should get in. The Jews are fixing to go through a terrible thing. The Holocaust wasn't anything as to what they're going through with. And I know that you say, well, why would God do that? They have been haughty. They've been contrary. They have been rich. God has blessed them, even the Jews that are in New York and wherever. And they're so haughty, like the little boy that walked up and spit on my wife. And God is going to humble them. But no matter what, you've got to remember one thing. Other nations have been haughty too. And they have pounced on the Jews, and God's going to make the Jews the head of the nation. All of them have to submit to the Jews. See, but when God does run Jacob through the fire and gets all of this haughtiness out of them, they're going to be humble. He said to them in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, he said, if you'll follow me, humble your heart, I'll make you the head and not the tail. They wouldn't do it. They become the tail and not the head. But when they straighten up, the promise is to them, and they're going to become the head of the nations. That's what's wrong with a lot of people. Even at Bethlehem, a lot of people are haughty. A lot of my blacks are as haughty as they can be. And they just absolutely won't humble their hearts. And a lot of my white is in the same condition. You can't get them to humble their hearts. They'll be just as hypocritical, and they'll act, all of them will act just like they're with you and like they're in humility, and that they just love one another. And when I catch their spirit, they're in terrible condition. And so it is around the world. But that means you have to go through the fire. You better get right. You better get straight. You better get your minds right. You better get your hearts right. Just being religious and being at Bethlehem isn't going to save you. Just saying that Brother Pike is my pastor, that isn't going to save you. Though I pray for you with a regularity. That heart is going to have to be clean. All the haughtiness is going to have to be gone. The haughty spirit goeth before fall, pride before destruction. Proud nation be destroyed. So knowledge puffeth up, education, charity edify. So you need to get right with one another. If you have any little thing in your heart toward anybody, the Bible said if you don't forgive them from your heart, God will not forgive your trespasses. So your faith isn't going to work. You're not going to get anything from God. So I ask you, to do right, to love one another, to be clean, not to be haughty and hateful, not to be deceitful. Don't backbite. Don't gossip. That's your brother. That's your sister that you're talking about. You're going to need them. You love the Lord? There's room at the cross for you. We sing this so often. Faith is by the hearing of the Word of God. Is your conviction in the Word of God, or some feeling as to what you're trying to do, or some ritualistic as to what you call a Pentecostal experience? Is your faith really in the Word of God and what Brother Pike is preaching here? To believe what I have said about it, that you are sons of God. Now, beloved, you are the sons of God. That you have passed from death unto life. That God has given you all things in Christ Jesus. All things that pertain unto life. That you are elect according to foreknowledge. That this thing was given to you in Christ before the world ever was.